Game On 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the straight talking savings bank.
And Scott had goes short with the corner kick. Sean Maloney finds Scott Brown inside the area. Maloney gets a return ball. Goal for Scotland. Sean Maloney, the breakthrough goal with an exquisite right-footed drive that curled in at David Ford's left-hand post.
It was always going to be fairly tight. We always thought maybe if one goal would decide the game. So, yeah, we're obviously very disappointed. You know, we're hurting. We got
manager who likes to win, his staff and all the players, deeply disappointed.
I'd expect Robbie to be disappointed. He's a top player. He's a lot better than Niall Quinn. Robbie Keane is massive for this team. Went out last night for a meal, it was fine. Not one direction.
Robin Copeland towards Rodney Ayew on the near side of the pitch towards Stuart Dowling, in towards Felix Jones. Got a big one alive! The fullback gets in for the try. He had work to do, but I'll tell you what, he used his body weight intelligently as he swept along the ground and scored a try in the corner. That's really good work by the Irish fullback.
I was pretty happy with the first half, even though it didn't rack up too many points. I think the points that we got in the second half were a product of the hard work that was put in the first half.
Joe Smith ending that little montage there about the weekend that was. Defeat by Scotland on the Republic of Ireland, but a win against Georgia yesterday. Alan Colley, how are we doing? Tony, I don't know, how are we doing?
Good evening, John.
All good.
Good, good, good. All good as well. How was your weekend, Colley?
I had a good weekend, John, yeah. Of course, we were playing the match.
Oh, yeah, the match that didn't finish.
I mentioned the winning goal. I had a grand weekend. I was a bit stiff and sore yesterday.
Yeah, we just had a little end-of-season match for Soccer Republic, which ended a little bit prematurely. Hope Steve is all right after his injuries. But, good weekend.
It was, yeah. I enjoyed it and was resting and recovering yesterday and obviously watching the sport all weekend as well. So, nice weekend, John, yeah.
Good. Tony?
I came back from Glasgow.
Thanks, Alan.
At Malahide.
So how was your day in Malahide?
Another one of those days, really. Training opened for 15 minutes this morning. Seeing as overnight, we discovered that Roy Keane in his print comments after yesterday's broadcast press conference was once again fairly strong on a number of things, and it didn't end well because some of the reporters had pushed him on a few things. He spoke about Jack Grealish, for example, and this young Aston Villa player who has played for Ireland at under 21, regarded as a great prospect. And even though Roy Keane himself is at Aston Villa, he kind of said it'll be a bloody long time before he's asking him again. It seems like his father's gotten involved and what have you. And then the Everton stuff is that, as we know, James McCarthy and Seamus Coleman missed the games against Germany and Gibraltar, and the big story coming up to the game against Scotland was whether James McCarthy would be fit enough to make it. And he was there every day. He wasn't fit enough to train. The scans were clear, but McCarthy wasn't right. And I suppose the backdrop to this then is people are wondering, is there a lot of pressure on players not to play if they're carrying any bit of injury? Roy Keane said, he doesn't know anyone. He doesn't even know what 100% fit means. But sometimes you have to make that call. And he felt that maybe a sit down was required between Roberto Martinez and Martin O'Neill to try and work these things out for the future. And then there are all the other incidents that have happened, including that strange altercation in the hotel lobby last week, which dominated the build-up to the Scotland game.
We'll talk about that in a second, because obviously talking about what Martin O'Neill has been saying about Roy Keane and all of that, but this is what he had to say about those two Everton players.
I'm a club manager. I was a club manager before. And the last thing you wanted is players playing in a game for their country when you thought that they might not be ready. It really is as simple as that. It's as simple as that. And in terms of the days, I was asked the question away back there, did we think, when the two lads missed out in the game against Gibraltar, obviously, and the Germany game, they played a few days later, which I think that they would have done. Now that was, from a normal viewpoint, you would think that would be, maybe it might have been a wee bit strange. But again, I can only go from what I spoke to Seamus about, more Seamus than anybody else. Seamus wanted to play. Doesn't want to miss the games for club or country, but he didn't feel right about it. But it was one of those that might clear up a couple of days later. To anyone else, you might think there might be something a bit strange about it. I've got my own view on it, and that's what I'm telling you.
Well, Eamon Dunphy joins us on the line. Good evening to you, Eamon.
Good evening, John.
What do you make to all of this furore, really, about McCarthy especially?
Well, I think McCarthy's case, with a hamstring, John, you can't take any chances, and even if a scan is clear, he hadn't trained for, what, a week maybe, or 3 or 4 days, then you're not conditioned. And the first thing that goes when you're not conditioned is your hamstring or your calf. So I think the conditioning factor there probably kicked in, and Martin O'Neill was wise, perhaps, not to risk it, even if the player wanted to play. That's the James McCarthy situation.
Is it not a suggestion, perhaps, that he was, you know, thinking about the fact that what people like McQueen had said during the week about the fact that they were going to boo the likes of McGady and McCarthy, and that maybe that was playing on his mind too?
I don't think so. I think Martin O'Neill said he's very keen to play, and I wouldn't have any reason to doubt that. I don't think he'd be afraid of being barracked or booed or anything like that. I think he would want not to miss, not to do his hamstring badly, because if it's a small tear and it becomes a big tear, you're out for 4, 5, 6 weeks. So I don't think it had anything to do with that. What I do think is that the Keane situation now is out of control. It's got to stop, the Roy Keane stuff. The very, very serious remarks he made about Jack Grealish, who's a young player we're trying to get, who's at Aston Villa. Keane had a go at his father yesterday in quite an intemperate way. Bill Kenwright, the Everton chairman, is on television tonight talking about Keane's madness. He's had a go at Everton and a go. So this is the Roy Keane show now. It's a circus. Unless Martin O'Neill gets a grip of it, then it's going to get worse. There was this press conference yesterday, which I'm told lasted for quite a long time, in which he's attacking journalists who are going about their job. Altercation in the hotel last week, book launches, controversial statements. If that goes on, then the Irish soccer team is going to become a circus and a joke, and it's going to damage our results.
Right, before we get the reaction then of Alan and Tony as well, this is what O'Neill had to say in Keane's defence today, actually.
Let me tell you the truth. I'm delighted to have Chosen him in the first place to bring him in here. He's been terrific. He's been perfect around the lads. He's been great. He's been everything that I wanted it to be. And all the distractions and things. Some things materialised that actually aren't of his doing to begin with. So I haven't a problem. He's got a mind of his own. He can say what he wants. Again, unless it's absolutely and utterly in contradiction with what I'm saying to you, then I do not have a problem with him. It is not an issue all the time.
Well, Tony seems to be suggesting perhaps something different than what Eamon was talking there. The fact that he seems to be happy enough that Keane is there.
Well, what else is he going to say? I mean, you know, he's there once again in front of the media. He's actually at a corporate event at Three headquarters after that press conference with Roy Keane. So there's a lot of that about as well. They have a lot of commercial responsibilities, if you like. But he's there with his assistant manager. He's going to have to defend him. And John O'Shea was asked those questions about Keane as well. And he says, you know, the so-called distractions don't bother us one little bit. And you can take him at face value and say yes. But for the player ahead of a game to be asked that every time, for the manager to be asked that every time, it is just, I agree with Eamon, it is become the story. And, you know, you talk about the Grealish thing. We're very anxious to get him. You have to be diplomatic how you deal with that. You have to leave that one to the manager, surely. The Everton situation is fluid. Yeah, maybe Roberto Martinez should meet Martin O'Neill, but I certainly wouldn't suggest he should meet Roy Keane. And even the way in which he squared up to the referee the other night in the game. I mean, you know, those are small things that can become big things, but that's not the assistant's job. There's only one person supposed to be standing up in the technical area at any time. And he was so in the assistant's face, or rather in the referee's face. You know, when it comes to a split decision a little bit further on in the game, you've got to think all these things make a difference.
Sure, Alan.
I agree totally with the two lads, John. Roy Keane was my hero growing up, as he was probably every kid in the country, and I'm just so bored of him at this stage now. It's just getting beyond a joke. It's actually turning into a circus. You wake up today and you're reading all about this press conference yesterday, where I heard a large part of it was the game was discussed. But here we are 3 days after a huge game, which we didn't perform well in, and all we're talking about is Roy Keane. There's a lot bigger problems than Roy Keane. And I just think it's just turned into such a it's almost a comedy show now at this stage. John.
Never boring, though.
No, obviously not. It's great for the media and the snippets and the bits he comes out with. That's obviously all great for the print media and his papers and headlines and all. But what I'm saying is, in terms of the distraction for O'Neill and the players and all we talk about is Roy Keane. Every match, why is he even out doing press conferences, John? You don't see any other country with the assistant managers out doing press conferences.
Mm. Well, Eamon, you mentioned the fact that Bill Kenwright was all over TV today talking about, getting a response to the fact that he didn't think McCarthy and McGeady were giving proper clearance. Well, proper clearance probably not an expression, but that Everton were probably trying to hold them back. This is what Kenwright had to say today about Keane.
You know what? I'm a big fan of Roy Keane's, but he does say some stupid things. Now, that is just totally, totally unfair. We absolutely love our players going on international duty, and we'd never ever get in the way of them, and Roberto Martinez will be as shocked as everyone at Everton is to hear Roy saying that.
It's a pretty strong statement to make, Eamon.
It is, yeah. Martinez at Wigan had a bit of form with McCarthy releasing him or not releasing him, but obviously club managers look after their club, but diplomacy is the way you deal with that, and it's also the way you may persuade Jack Grealish to play for Ireland. Having a go at his father is not. And Roy Keane would not have been given the job as Irish team manager on his merits, and now he is effectively speaking for the FAI. And the things he's saying are not things that the FAI or Martin O'Neill should be saying. Having a go at Martinez, having a go at Everton, having a go at a young player and his father who were trying to sign. It was a sarcastic comment yesterday about Grealish's father. That's really, really way, way out of order. The other thing is, I saw Gordon Strachan making fun of Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane in a press conference last week, talking about his own assistant, Mark McGee. He said sarcastically sardonically, "We have terrible problems. We fight every night about Scrabble." But it was before the match, and it feeds into a mood that would have been in the Scottish camp, and also where they have no respect. The one thing you want your opponents to do is respect you, and the one thing you want your players in your camp, in your own camp, to do is respect you. Now, obviously, players are not going to criticise Roy Keane if they're asked in public, but you don't want this kind of comedian, if you like, going round representing Irish soccer and the Irish soccer international team. If it isn't stopped, it's going to do even more damage than may have been done already. Don't forget, there's a lot of players out there we'd like to sign. We have to have a reputation as an international soccer team for professionalism, for discipline, and for behaving properly, which means keeping your mouth shut on occasions, which is not something Roy Keane is able to do. And I would question why he's out with the media attacking journalists yesterday, having provided the fodder in the first place for the questions they were legitimately asking. This has to stop, and it should stop immediately.
Tony, we didn't see Roy outside of that altercation in the hotel and the build-up to the Scotland game. He wasn't put forward to the media. Why did they put forward with him yesterday?
I mean, one of the suggestions was that they would put him forward. Usually on the first day of the week build-up, it's Martin O'Neill, and the second day it's Roy Keane. That didn't happen, as you say, this week, because there was a suggestion that he was going to be put out on the Sunday to help the interest, to drum up the interest, or to increase the interest in the USA game, and therefore maybe sell more tickets for it.
Does the manager decide that, Tony, or the FAI?
I would say, in the main, the manager would decide that, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, assistant managers, it's becoming the norm. You watch rugby at the moment, and, you know, assistant managers get to have their say as well. I don't think there's a problem in Roy having his say, but he has to be smart enough to filter, yeah, you know, some of his thoughts, and to be diplomatic, and to see that there's a bigger picture going on here.
Yeah. And why did Martin O'Neill let himself in for having to make that statement then on Friday morning? Why did he feel that he naturally had to do it? Because he looked very uncomfortable making that statement, that video statement about Keane's altercation.
It did look odd, and he did say to us in Scotland that he hadn't seen it himself. And I think if he ever does take a look at it, he might be a bit shocked. And, you know, I mean, maybe he'll have to review his whole media relations, if you like, because it seemed very extraordinary that today, in front of the press this afternoon, he hadn't seen any of the comments in the newspapers or hadn't heard about it, or so he said. He did say that, you know, particularly with the situation regarding Everton and Jack Grealish, that he would brief himself on Roy's comments, because in particular, Bill Kenwright, the Everton owner and chairman, had responded at that stage. Martin said he would brief himself and then he'll take a view on it. But I would suggest he should have briefed himself and taken a view on it before today's press
conference. Surely he knew, Tony. I would have thought so. You would have to have known beforehand. And even and the bigger picture here is, and the problem that I have, is there was a match Friday night, a huge match, and no one's talking about the match and how poor we were and how bad, and there's plenty of things to work on and where we need to go to improve and stuff like that. And here we are talking about a press conference. I think it's just complete nonsense. I really do, John. And there is big problems. If anyone thinks it's all rosy in the garden with the performance that have been put in so far, I think we have big problems. Looking at the game Friday night, I thought we were really, really poor. I thought Gordon Strachan outdone Martin O'Neill tactically as well. I suppose the comments that were here, like all in the build up to the match, was that the two teams were obviously kind of a similar standard. And here was a game where, which you would probably agree with, the players of a similar standard. Here was a game where we were outplayed and outpassed yet again, dominated totally in possession wise. And then what surprised me even more, and the bigger problem, Martin O'Neill came out after the match and his interview, John, I just couldn't get over his interview. He basically said we deserved the draw and that they never created a chance or carved us open. And if he sees it that way, well, I think we've serious problems.
Mm. What did you think of the match on Friday, Eamon?
Well, I'd roughly go along with what Alan said. I thought they were the better team, and they had our defence under pressure for long periods in the game. Last 20 minutes in the first half, I thought it was some heroic defending for Richard Keogh, Seamus Coleman, John O'Shea. We really had to work very, very hard. And also, of course, in the second half, for spells, we never really tested their goalkeeper. Aidan McGeady's shot late in the second half, or well, midway through the second half, was one shot on target that their goalkeeper had to deal with. We didn't pass the ball well. We didn't play well. This is the real issues we should be discussing. But
a long in for Luke Keane didn't work, did it?
Well, I think Shane Long hasn't played much football, John. He came on the previous Saturday in the Premier League and scored two goals for Southampton, but he hasn't started a game, I don't think, for Southampton this season. It's certainly not a Premier League game, so maybe he ran out of petrol. On the whole, I agreed with the decision to leave Keane out, but I would definitely play John Walters up front.
Who ran his socks off, in fairness?
He did, and he scored the previous week for Stoke. I think in Shane Long's case, there may be a fitness issue, and that's true of Darren Gibson as well, who hadn't started a Premier League match, but had started a couple of League Cup games and a one Europa League game. So fitness was an issue, I think, in those two cases. But I didn't think it was a disastrous night. I thought we showed a lot of spirit. I think Scotland are under, you know, the present management, Gordon Strachan and Mark McGee, are a very good team, and the results show that. You know, they should have beaten Poland away from home, 2-2-0, where Germany lost in that particular stadium, and they went to Germany and really were very unlucky to lose 2-1. So they are a decent side, and there's no need to panic. But tomorrow night's match, it looks like young players are going to be thrown in. I think tomorrow night's match should have been used to refine our tactics, to see what shape the team should be, because it wasn't a very good shape the other night with two in midfield. It does not work. And to, you know, develop the project a bit more rather than using it as a kind of friendly and, you know, putting in people you won't be using against Poland in March. Mm. So I want to give Martin O'Neill every chance, and I think I'm disappointed so far, but he's only four competitive games into his tenure.
Yeah,
but the other thing, John, the Keane thing has to be sorted, because it's damaging Martin O'Neill. It reeks of unprofessionalism, and it will lose our respect among the footballing community if we allow this kind of nonsense to continue.
Does O'Neill then have to talk to Keane, Tony?
Well, what was most I think insightful when O'Neill was asked whether Roy's comments on the Jack Grealish situation were helpful or not. There was just this long silence as he stared down at the room, and he's then asked, "What do you mean?" It's obviously he was trying to consider a response, and then he kicked for touch, and then he said, "I've spoken to the two of them, Jack and his father, and they're not in any hurry at the moment." But you know, that's going to be a very delicate one. We want the player, of course. We don't want to mess it up. And yeah, I think in private he's going to have a word with Roy.
Mm. I mean, Tony and John, yes, just to go back to this, so one of the factors that they weigh up, Jack Grealish and his father, is the professionalism of the Irish setup. They're going to factor that in, aren't they?
Mm.
But we've got to make sure that we don't become a joke. And at the moment, you know, what's going on is a bit of a joke.
If he was in the, if Jack Grealish, say for argument's sake, was in the England squad and he was away with them at the moment, do you think a fan would be walking around the foyer at a hotel and just coming up asking for autographs of Roy Keane or Roy Hodgson?
We know that wouldn't happen because it's just a completely different setup. I mean, in the past, we did have the Charlton era where really was the fans were staying in the same hotel. I mean, obviously that's changed, but they're still able to get to the access to the players by actually going to the hotel itself where they're staying or where the press conferences are taking place.
But I don't think that should be allowed. If you're talking professionalism and everything.
And when was the last time at any training camp, say the Irish rugby team or the Kilkenny hurling team, where guards have been called and an ambulance? Come on.
I can't think of any.
No. I mean, this kind of stuff is wrong. It's a disrespect to the game, to Irish soccer, to the supporters who travel to Scotland, who go to the Aviva. We've got to think of our own reputation and the reputation of our international team and how people highly placed in that organisation are behaving themselves.
And in that case, and I don't want to speak too much about the hotel lobby situation because we don't really know, but Martin O'Neill said today, you know, some things are not of Roy's doing, and maybe that was...
No, I definitely, from looking and what I've heard, I definitely think I would defend him there. I think that was a total non-story. But again, because of who he is and all the stuff that's going on at the moment, it's made into a big hoo-ha.
Yeah, because O'Neill did say whatever about a book coming out, yeah. Roy could fall over in the training ground there and break his leg and then be another story.
But he also acknowledged that the hotel lobby incident was a distraction.
Yeah, of course. Well, Eamon, a quick word about tomorrow night's game. How do you think that's going to go? Is there a couple of new players in? We'll have the likes of Cyrus Christie and McGoldrick.
Well, I mean, that's where we've arrived. We've been talking for 10 or 15 minutes, and just a quick word about the game.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it'd be nice to have a look at these two lads. I think the Americans will probably be well-drilled. They lost to Colombia, but there's no shame in that. Colombia lost 2-1, but they went 1-0 up in the game, and Rodriguez is playing for Colombia, so there's no disgrace in that. I expect the Americans to give us a tough game tomorrow. They'll be well-organised. Klinsmann is a good coach. They'll be fit, they'll be up for it, they'll want to play. So it'll be an interesting exercise, but I'm not sure if it will contribute anything to the game against Poland in March, which is a real big one.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's hear what Klinsmann had to say today.
We're looking very much forward to it. I think, you know, for us it's just great to come to Europe and get tested, you know, and get benchmarked and get experience and hopefully improve our team going forward as much as we can, as quickly as we can. I think with Ireland, we have a team that is on the rise, a team that is doing very well in European 2016 qualifiers, with obviously, as you know better than me, you know, a bunch of players from the Premier League, Championship, they're proven players. So that will give us another very strong and demanding test tomorrow night, and therefore we're looking forward to it and are excited about it.
All right, well, Eamon, listen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
It's always good to have you on the programme. Thanks for joining us back again next week on Game On. Don't forget the game is live here on RTE2FM as part of Game On tomorrow night from 7 o'clock, and we're live at the Aviva Stadium. How do you think the game's going to go, Tony? What can we possibly learn from it now at this stage?
Well, Jurgen Klinsmann saying there that a lot of proven players. I'm not so sure about that because the manager has confirmed that Cyrus Christie will play, will start the game at right full back. He's also confirmed that Ipswich Town's David McGoldrick will play. And then he suggested that Daryl Murphy has a very good chance as well because he's a clubmate of McGoldrick. He likes the thought of McGoldrick being able to play in that Wes Hoolham position, if you like, the number 10 just off the main striker, and that he can add a lot to the game. So you can likely see Daryl Murphy and David McGoldrick up front. I think Robbie Brady came on and did himself no harm this time against Scotland, and I saw the manager pulling him aside and having a chat with him today. I think Brady could start. I think we could see practically a whole new team. I think Pilkington has a good shout of playing. Myler, Quinn, Kieran Clark, Richard Keogh did start, of course, in Glasgow, but I think he has a shout, as does Alex Pearce. I think the goalkeeper will be changed as well. So an almost completely new Irish 11 to begin with in prospect against a USA team, which we should have huge respect for, because they've got a great spirit and togetherness. They had a great World Cup. They're almost like a club side in many ways, and they've got a much better ranking than us as well. I would hope, for the sake of momentum and for the sake of confidence, because, you know, there was a nice little wave there that everyone was riding on after the away win in Tbilisi and the late draw against the world champions. That's been dashed, but, you know, our hopes of qualifications are far from over. So you'd like to think a good performance will get us to the end of the calendar year. The sad thing for O'Neill and all the players, the next game is 4 months away.
That's
4 months away. It's a long time.
It is, yeah. All right, Alan, you're staying with us. Tony, thanks for dropping in. A couple of texts. Ireland are a very limited team, and how they played on Friday was a poor performance. We have a very poor international players, or we have very poor international players. That's Mick. And somebody said, am I the only person that thinks O'Neill might be happy as takes shine questions off the team? I presume he's talking about Roy Keane's press conferences.
Game on 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the straight-talking savings bank.